here can easily understand.
Just because it's late doesn't mean we're done yet.
And the sir, that's a penalty.
And the quarterback, you kidding me, coach?
There's plenty more hits to dish out.
Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he? Look at that, he hit the f***ing ball. That gets a free steak.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph. Get Physical RX. By Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. And by BetUS, the original online sportsbook. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Patrick Creighton.
This is the only live, local, and consistent evening sports radio show in the city of Houston. Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. Patrick Creighton with him. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. On the HRMP listener line, on text line, on X. I guess we're not even calling it Twitter anymore. We're just calling it X. I am on X at P. Creighton 1. Big Gianni B.
Big Bad John.
On the other side of the glass at the master controls, at Third Coast Johnny on X. Like saying that. On X. On the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/ESPN975, which apparently we have to get set up because maybe we're using it, maybe we're not. It still says we're offline. But we'll figure that out in a moment. ESPN975.com, ESPN975 app. Tell Google, tell Alexa, play ESPN975. Take us with you everywhere you go. Oh, look at that. All I had to do was hit refresh and bam, there we are. It works, right? It's amazing how those kind of things work. Johnny, I got to ask you a question. See, I got a message here on my X, on my Twitter, that says, Stump Master Joe George does not let you play your theme music when you produce. Is this true?
Well, nobody else asked for it except for you. You kind of started the whole thing, so I kind of preserved it for your show.
Yeah, we have to, like, incorporate your theme music into all shows that you do. Anybody who's not incorporating your theme music, you need to be pushy.
Okay.
You need to put it in there. You need to jam it home. Okay? Do not let little Stumpy prevent Big John from driving it home. Big John cannot be outbigged by Stumpy.
Little Stumpy is little so Stumpy. Disrespectful.
So disrespectful.
He got called fat today, too.
What? Who called him fat?
Somebody during the Killer Bees.
Was it Jeremy?
No, it was a listener.
Oh. I'm like, because Jeremy's been talking about how he's gained weight. Now, Jeremy's not fat by any means, but he's definitely heavier than he once was. That's what happens when you're living the high life because, you know, you're a big shot radio host and getting the big fat salary.
He's got a happy family to his happy weight, you know?
And then you've got, you know, all his UH stuff where, you know, he's getting the big bucks from UH. Which, by the way, shout out to UH. UH, this has got to be at least 3, maybe 4 years in a row. UH sent us swag bags. In the past, we've had swag boxes. This year, we got swag bags. We got UH Big 12 backpacks, red and black, cool as hell, with t-shirts and koozies. And they were awesome. So shout out to Pan Keo, who handles all of that stuff at UH. And for UH, for taking care of us here at ESPN 975. Again, UH always takes care of us at the beginning of football season. In fact, they've even been taking care of us at basketball season, too. And the reason why this is a big shout-out for UH is because I'm getting in trouble for this. Johnny, are we the flagship for the University of Houston?
No.
No, we are not. Are we the flagship for Texas A&M?
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Would you like to know how many things I've gotten from Texas A&M?
I'll take a guess. I'll say goose egg.
Goose egg! Ungots. Straight up nada. Guess how many things we've gotten from the University of Texas?
UT. Goose egg.
Absolutely nada. What do you think we've gotten from Baylor or TCU or SMU or Sam Houston State or Stephen F. Austin. I mean, SFA has got purple. I mean, their stuff is cool looking. Or
I wouldn't say cool.
HCU, which used to be HBU, or UTSA, or UTEP, or like Texas Southern, Texas State, like you name it. Ungots.
To be fair, half those schools aren't anywhere near Houston, though.
Ungots. UH always got the Mots. UH always got the Mots. I appreciate UH. I'm grateful to them. I hope their football season turns around really fast. Not expecting it to. Fortunately, Kelvin Sampson's the basketball coach. We know their basketball team will be good. So, a little bit of a tough year for UH moving into the Big 12 this year, which is unfortunate. You'd hope that, you know, their first year in the Big 12, they'd be a little better. But hopefully they'll continue to get better as the season goes on. They'll show some progress. Certainly looking forward to Kelvin Sampson, the basketball team. Those guys have been ass kickers for years. But big thank you to the University of Houston, who takes care of us. And I would be very happy to thank other universities if they would take care of us too. Hint, hint. I'm not saying, but I'm just saying. All right, Johnny, what does it take for the Astros to show up against the last place team? What does it take? Like, do we have to have, sweet chocolate cake?
I was going to say Dusty needs to bring the whole team banana pudding, not just one player.
Do we need, like, a vat of banana pudding? I mean, can our friends... I'll tell you what. Kobo's, shout out to Kobo's Q, because those guys are awesome. Raul's amazing. Kobo's made banana pudding just for a Chaz appearance the other day. I was like, dude, you got to get that on the menu. Like, I did not know that you had that, because if I knew that you had that, I would be making another drive from Katy to Edo to go, because Kobo's is worth the drive, not going to lie. In fact, since I do not have a game tomorrow, it's a home day, so it's a family day. There is a good possibility that at some point this weekend, my daughter is going to be like, hey, Dad, since you don't have a game this weekend, how about you take me to Kobo's? That's coming. Today she had me take her for sushi and because they were off from school today. It's one of those days in the district where they do teacher conferences. So the kids were off today. So I just say, hey, Dad, yeah, how about some sushi?
Those are the best days. Did you partake in sushi?
Of course I did. Hey, if I got to have sushi. See, the mother of children, not big on sushi. The princess loves sushi. So me and the princess, we went and had sushi. That's how that worked. You know, the heir to the throne, he's up in Dallas right now. But when he's home, we definitely get the sushi because he's also the only one who doesn't like sushi is the mother of children. She's the only one. So coming off of a series against the Lastletics, where the Astros, won one game? And then a series against the Kansas City Paupers, where they won one game. And then a series against the Baltimore Orioles, where they won one game. They get the Paupers coming into Minute Maid tonight. Framber Valdez on the mound. One game after Dusty told us all how, Maldi really did a great job of fixing Christian Javier. You know, he's the guy who's got to fix him. You know, because it's not like, Christian Javier couldn't have done anything to, pitch better. And the law firm of Miller and Murphy, they couldn't have done anything to help Christian Javier pitch better. It was all Martin Maldonado. And obviously, this is not about Martin Maldonado. This is about the manager who says these dumb things. Anyway. If Maldi fixed Javier, well, he certainly effed up Valdez tonight. because Fromber in the first inning couldn't get out you, me, and Katie High School. Four runs, three earned. Why three earned? Moldy pass ball. Sorry, Moldy league-leading pass ball. Three hits and a walk, and those hits were not light. And the Astros were down 4-0 before they ever got a turn at the plate. These awful starts that they keep getting off to, this crap has to stop. And they got an RBI single from Yordan in the first. They got a home run from Jose Abreu in the second. By the way, Abreu now has 17 homers and 83 RBI. That's more homers and RBI than he had last year when he hit 300. Weird splits, right? You like we look up like the splits on guys and see, you know, what are guys doing against lefties? What are guys doing against righties, etc., like that. Well, the other day I decided to look up Jose Abreu splits, but not lefty righty, but guys on base, bases empty. And Johnny, you would not believe what I found. Jose Abreu, bases empty this season. 207 average, 261 on base, 552 OPS. Men on base, 264 average, 328 on base, 787 OPS.
So he just needs a little motivation.
Runners in scoring position, 266 average, 342 on base, 874 OPS. He just needs to hit with guys on. The problem is he's had 139 at-bats at runners in scoring position and 275 at-bats at nobody on. He needs to hit with guys on base. See, all year, and all these analytical geniuses of the Astros, nobody figured this out. He's got to hit with guys on base, that's all. Easy. If only, right? Easy, if only. But I did find that to be an interesting stat for a guy who's had overall the worst numbers of his career, right? Abreu entered today hitting 233 with a 660 OPS. He's an 842 OPS for his career. He's a 286 hitter for his career. And basically, he's 50 points down on his average. He's 180 points down on his OPS. But when you look at his overalls, the counting stats, right? Last year, when he hit 304, 15 homers, 75 ribs. Right now, 17 homers, 83 ribs. So, hopefully, this is, you know, we're going to see more of the hitting with guys on base type of Jose Abreu. And less of the hitting with nobody on base because he doesn't hit very well with nobody on base type of Jose Abreu. That would be for the best. But they've got to stop with these awful starts where they're constantly behind. Two things have really been prevalent as the Astros continue to. All right, there's a WTF coming up right here, Johnny, because this is a what the hell. Kyle Tucker led off the bottom of the fourth with a triple. and did not score. What the hell? All you got to do, ground ball the other way. It's a run. It doesn't even have to get out of the infield. Ground ball the other way. It's a run. Abreu, grounded to third. The one place you can't ground it to. Chaz, whiff. And then Doobie bounces back to the mound. Runner at third, nobody out, and they don't cash in. Why? Because they're playing the Royals. I'm sorry, the Paupers. They're playing the Paupers. And for whatever reason, when they play the Paupers, they just don't want to show up. They play the Last Athletics, they don't want to show up. They play the last place South Bronx Slumlords, and they don't want to show up. It doesn't make sense. These are the teams they should be beating the snot out of. And instead, they play like they've never seen a baseball before. It is the most frustrating, confounding thing ever with a team that's this good to play this poorly against teams that are hot garbage. It's like, oh, the Astros are playing the Paupers? Yeah, don't bet on the Astros today. There's lots of times to bet on the Astros, but not right now. You get all your betting going in, of course, at BetUS.com. I mean, look, they're my favorite sports book. It is the easiest interface to use. And they're 30 years in now. They're the original online sports book, right? They're 30 years in. And for their 30th anniversary, they are giving you up to 30 risk-free bets. That means you win, you get paid. You lose, you keep your money. Not one, not two, not three, 30 risk-free bets. It's called Bet Protect. On top of that, there's more. But wait, there's more. They have the industry's biggest sign-up bonus, 125%. You put in $100, they put $125 in your account. Extra. Extra. That's $225 for you to place bets and win real money. If you want an even bigger sign-up bonus, sign up with crypto and you get a 200% sign-up bonus. Not only that, their live in-game betting lets you keep the action and the excitement going all day long, especially college football, NFL. Man, you just keep that action going all day Saturday, all day Sunday. It's awesome. So take advantage of this 30th anniversary offer. Up to 30 risk-free bets with Bet Protect. Get started today. BetUS.com. Call them 1-800-MY-BET-US, 1-800-MY-BET-US. Learn about the bonuses. Learn about the special offers. You want to learn how to do crypto with BET-US? Call them 1-800-MY-BET-US. They'll tell you. BET-US.com, sportsbook and casino where the game begins.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're hooked up with it.
Toss a coin to your witcher.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5, presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology, and by BetUS, the original online sportsbook. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Well, since that awful first inning where Fromber got kicked around, 26 pitches, 3 hits, a walk, 4 runs, 3 earned. Fromber settled down. Through 5 innings, he has not given up an additional hit outside of the first. So, essentially, since the first innings, over his last 4, no runs, no hits, 2 walks, 9 strikeouts. He's got 10 for the game. Fromm's got got 10 punch outs tonight through five innings, and he's at 75 pitches. Realistically, Fromber might get through seven. Despite the awful first inning, he got settled in, and he may actually get through seven. Now, if the Astros offense can wake the hell up, that would be a little different story. Because so far tonight, the Astros have three hits. One of them was the Kyle Tucker leadoff triple that he got stranded. One was a solo homer by Jose Abreu. And one was, I think, an RBI single for Yordan Alvarez in the first. Good to see Yordan. A, back in the lineup. B, getting a base hit. Yordan DHing again. And look, this is, to me, this is how it should be. Yordan should be DHing. And whether it's Dubon and Chaz, or whether it's, you know, occasionally maybe it's Myers and Chaz, I think that should be the outfield alignment. That's your best defensive. As much as Yordan is a better defensive outfielder than people give him credit for, and he has a strong and accurate arm, Yordan don't cover a lot of ground. With Chaz and Dubon or Chaz and Myers, you're going to cover a ton of ground. You need to keep Yordan healthy, period, the end. Yordan cannot get hurt. Yordan is more likely to get hurt playing the field than he is swinging a bat. That doesn't mean he can't get hurt swinging a bat because, well, we already know. But more likely going to get hurt playing the field. I think we also need to come to grips with the fact that this might be the end for Michael Brantley. On Wednesday, when they were facing essentially a must-win game against a pitcher that they just can't hit, but a righty. With Yordan out of the lineup, Michael Brantley sitting told you he's hurting. And after the game, Dusty kind of copped to as much that, you know, Brantley is beat up right now. And the last time we saw him play the field, he made a really strong throw to home plate. Nailed it. I mean, he looked strong. But he hasn't played since. That basically, for the Astros who never tell you squat about anything, Michael Brantley clearly had a setback with his shoulder. And now with, you know, eight games plus tonight, I don't know that we see Michael Brantley again before the season's over. If you're the Astros, I think you need to see him at least DH a game before you decide whether or not you're going to put him on the postseason roster. Maybe they're going to wait until they've clinched a spot and play him. Maybe he'll play the last game of the year. But I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see Uncle Mike again for the rest of the year and he's not on the postseason roster. He's already a guy who can only left field DH. And if he's had another setback with his shoulder, any attempt to get him back in the lineup is going to be DH only. And this is, what, six games in a row for Yordan DHing? Which means Brantley's not going to play. Because if he can only DH, and you're DHing Yordan because he's been, look, Dusty sat him down because he said, well, you know, he looks like he's beat up, he's tired. And so we got 2 days off. You're not going to go play him in the field. That means Yordan's going to DH, and they're going to go with their best defensive alignment in the outfield, especially since Chaz has hit well. And since August 1st, Dubon has been hitting over. Dubon's hitting like 340 since August 1st with an OPS of like 930. So Doobie, Chaz, and Tucker is probably your outfield alignment going forward. And Yordan's going to DH. That means Michael Brantley's not going to have a role. And the fact that Brantley is apparently hurting as much as he is, it sucks. Because I think everybody loves Uncle Mike and certainly respect the professional bat that he is. But if he can't play the field, he can't be on the postseason roster. And I don't know that he's going to be able to play the field again. The lineup that you see tonight, Altuve, Pena, Alvarez, Bregman, Tucker, Abreu, Chaz, Doobie, and Machete, is probably the lineup we are going to see most often in the postseason. And maybe Yiner will get to catch J.P. France. Maybe. We know Dusty trust Martin Maldonado implicitly. No matter what, he will live and die with Martin Maldonado. And the reality is, as much as Diaz is a better offensive and a better defensive player, the other guys in the lineup not named Maldonado should be good enough to get you enough runs. Yes, Yiner is better. Offensively, defensively, throwing guys out is not a question. Every defensive metric says Diaz over the king of the pass ball, Martin Maldonado. But there's this to be considered. Against lefties, Maldi hits. And when Maldi hits, he can get it out of the yard. Especially in Houston, he can get out of the yard. So, look, we have to live with Martin Maldonado behind the plate. Hopefully he'll give you a better performance in the postseason when there's more days off. And, you know, if he sees some lefties, he'll get you some hits, hopefully. Fromber getting a meeting at the mound, 2-1, nobody out in the top of the sixth. Because, you know, after cruising through 2, 3, 4, 5, of course, we get to the sixth and we hit a guy, we walk a guy, and, you know, same old, same old. But I unfortunately, I think Uncle Mike is probably done for the year. And that really sucks. Because when he's played, he's hit. And he played better defense than anybody thought he was going to play. And his shoulder's just apparently betraying him. Late hits.
ESPN, 97.5.com. One of these guys cheats at fishing.
We got weights and fish.
There we go. Oh!
Late night Houston sports talk only happens here. It's Late Hits with Patrick Creighton. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology, and by BetUS. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, so the Astros are doing dumbass things here in the sixth inning. So Fromber hits the leadoff guy who steals second, then he hits the next guy. Then on a sack bunt, for some reason, Fromber decides to go to third and he had no chance. Martin Maldonado was standing there watching the whole thing happen. If the reason that you need to have Martin Maldonado in the game is he is your field general. If the reason Martin Maldonado was in the game is because he has to keep Fromber's head in the game, then Martin Maldonado needs to be barking out orders 1-1-1 and not letting his apparently mentally incapacitated pitcher make a stupid play to third base. Right? That's why Moldy's got to catch Fromber, right? Because Fromber's a mental dipwad, and, you know, every time something goes wrong, he becomes a complete moron. So Moldy has to calm him down and get his brain straightened out so he doesn't have another brain fart like he just had, right? That's why Moldy's there. And the Astros are playing the infield in for some reason, and that leads to two more runs. Like, what the hell are they doing? You know what? Play the infield at normal depth, you get the out. You only give up one run. Ball gets to the drone in infield, it's two runs. And, you know, because Altuve's on the damn grass, the infield grass, infield in, anything that's more than a step one way or the other is a hit. This is just mental breakdown by Framber Valdez. This guy's the ace. And he just had like an 11-year-old little league moment where he's the 11-year-old pitching against the 12-year-old because he's as big as the 12-year-old and he's got the stuff, but he doesn't have the mental maturity to handle when things get sideways. How does Framber not have the mental maturity to handle when things get sideways, especially if his own volition, he hits two guys? You get the infield in. It's the sixth inning. It's not the ninth. You get four more at bats. You gave away an extra run. That was just dumb. Going to third base, that was dumb. My, quote, field general catcher is not telling my mentally incapacitated pitcher, go to first, 1-1-1-1. And that's literally his job. Come out of the chute, 1-1-1. No, he's standing there like he's got his thumb straight up his rear end. Not one, every single person in the building, as soon as Framber turned to third, the collective groan. Because you knew this wasn't going to work. Look, Framber doesn't even pay attention to base runners. The guy on second's got a massive secondary lead. He's basically on third bases before Framber throws the ball. Just idiocy. Which team is the last place team again? This is the crap that drives us nuts. This team is way too good, way too talented to play the trash-ass baseball that they're playing tonight. Against a team that shouldn't even be licking their boots. And again, this is, you know, where is the leadership? Where is the leadership on this team? We've never questioned the leadership on the Astros before. We are questioning the leadership here coming down the stretch. They can't beat anybody. You've got Altuve, Bregman, Tucker, Maldonado, Verlander. Dusty's going to the Hall of Fame. Where is the mother bleeping leadership? They're not out there showing your ass two out of every three games to teams that have 50 wins. You know, like I said yesterday, the Astros, they are absolutely a team that we have seen in the past flip the switch and bam, it's on. But you got your ace going tonight against a 51-win team at the end of September. And he's out the door in the sixth inning with seven on the board. This is a whole bottle of tequila night, Johnny.
Do you remember how good we felt after the Astros went up to Arlington and swept the Rangers? We felt like that was the turning point, that was the moment, like, here we go. And
it
now,
was the turning
as bad
point,
as it feels
they
now.
They turned into friggin' pumpkins after that series.
Yeah, they did.
And here's the junk grabber sitting up with the damn Undertaker getting ready to take over first place tonight. It just... All right, we're gonna take a break here before I pop a thrombo. But before we hit the break, I tell you about our friends at Home Run Dugout. Because Home Run Dugout has become my favorite place to go. Home Run Dugout in Cadence Place is amazing. Indoor, outdoor dining, indoor, outdoor bars, multiple bars inside and out. They have a full-size wiffle ball field, indoor, outdoor batting bays. Think about it as Top Golf for baseball. You can play Home Run Derby in any baseball stadium that you want to play it in, with your friends, with your kids, on day, like whatever you want to do, it's all there. Plus, they have really, really great events. You guys might remember I told you about a really cool event. They had a concert with Slim Thug and Lil Kiki and Paul Wall, and it was awesome. But maybe you're not into rap and R&B. Maybe you're a country music fan. Well, Eli Young Band is coming to Home Run Dugout on September 30th. Drake White coming to Home Run Dugout on October 6th. You get tickets online. You go to homerundugout.com. Then you click at the top. It says music and events. And you'll see on that, you just scroll down to where it says Eli Young Band or where it says Drake White and just click on the Get Tickets tab. And you can get tickets for either or both of those shows at Home Run Dugout. It is, I'm telling you, when you go there, you're going to be blown away by just how freaking awesome this place is. Home Run Dugout can actually make you feel good when the Astros want to make you feel bad. All right, that's impressive. That is impressive. So go check it out, Home Run Dugout in Katy, homerundugout.com.
ESPN, 97.5 on Twitch. All systems go.
Houston is all systems go.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5, presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology, and by BetUS, the original online sportsbook. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
So, I gotta talk about something else, because I'm just gonna get, like, incredibly ticked off talking about the Astros as they just play stupid baseball tonight. And I don't want to lose my voice for an hour here on the show. So right now, what I'm going to do is I am going to ask for help from the late hitters. Those of you who call in, those of you on the text line, those of you on the Twitch stream, those of you listening on terrestrial radio, those of you listening on the internet, I am asking for your help here because we got a family situation. So you guys know my son goes to, he goes to UTD. And he is, you know, now as a sophomore, he doesn't live, quote, in the dorms. He lives in the apartments. And because now he actually has a kitchen. And look, he's an Eagle Scout. He knows how to cook. And he's really become more, holy hell, are they doing the frickin' wave? They're doing the damn wave at Minute Maid Park. I hate life right now. I hate life right now. Team's down 7-2. You're doing the wave in the sixth inning. Not, hey, we might fall out of first place. Not, hey, we might wind up being on the outside looking in the playoffs with eight games to go. No. Hey, look at me.
I knew something was going to happen out of the break that was going to reignite this fuse, and you were going to be able to go back right to it.
Brendan Faubel. Right. Oh, yeah. I hate people. That's why I like dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Dogs don't piss me off. People piss me off. People are the worst. So, because my son lives in the apartments, he doesn't have to have, like, the really big meal plan, you know, where, like, they don't have kitchens in the dorms. So, everything you eat is at one of the residence halls where you have to go off campus and go buy it somewhere. Now that he has an apartment with a kitchen, he can cook what he wants. And he actually prefers to make his own food. So we got him a smaller meal plan, basically just like for lunch, that while he's on campus, he can go get lunch, but eats breakfast in his apartment or he eats dinner in his apartment or he goes out with his friends or whatnot. But at lunch, when he's in between classes, he can go in, get lunch, and then go to like a class if he's got like a 40-minute break or whatnot, right? School had him on the wrong meal plan. They had him on a meal plan that was a lot more meals and a lot more expensive than the one that he actually selected. So he said to me, I want to say it was like Thursday of last week. He says, Dad, you know, they've gotten on the wrong meal plan. I said, all right. So just because you can't go in person to anything, everything has to be a phone call or an email, and they never answer the phones. Basically, everything's going to be an email. I said, so email them, tell them, hey, you selected this meal plan. You know, show them the thing on your, because it's all in his, he's got like an online profile. It has everything on it. I said, show him. I said, this has got your, yeah, everything here is on here. This is the meal plan you selected, but this is the one they're showing in the system. So can they adjust the meal plan? Because the one that you have is a lot less. You haven't used more than what you would have normally used. I mean, he hasn't even used as much as he could have used. And he says, okay. So he sends them an email. They say, okay, we'll correct it. Today, he gets an email from the school that says, your meal plan has been corrected and you have been refunded the difference in the meal plan price. Well, the difference in the meal plan price is $1,584. This is money that I've already laid out for his, you know, tuition, meal, etc. I've already paid this money. Now he gets a refund check. Who keeps the money? Do I take the money back because I laid it out? Or do I just let him keep it because at the end of the day, he's probably going to need it at some point, and I'm just going to wind up giving it back to him anyway. So do I just let him keep it and like, okay, that's your buffer money for the semester. Don't screw it up.
Well, it depends on if you actually need the money. Like if something comes up and you need it, get it back. But if not, then that's probably – he's not working, is he?
Yeah, he works like 10 hours a week.
Oh, that's not enough. Yeah, he probably needs it as a buffer then.
He worked all summer. And he has a job on campus where he works like 10, 12 hours a week. And like he probably gets paid about $16 an hour. And – he works for what's called the LLC. So it's called the Living Learning Community. So in their dorms, like what they do in the dorms is you can be what's part of the LLC, and they put all the kids who are in the same major on the same floor. And that becomes your LLC. So everybody on your floor, but in your room, you're all in the same track. And like they got like all the community areas. In all their buildings, all the community areas have mega TVs for you to connect your video games so that you and your friends can all play video games in the common area. Where was that when I was in college?
I don't mean to be rude, but were video games, you know.
Video games existed. Now,
they existed,
but the internet was very, very new, but yeah. Video games existed. Giant flat screen TVs didn't exist. You know, you had to either have like a projection TV or you still had the tube, but you didn't have the giant flat. You didn't have giant 80-inch flat screen. They didn't even have plasmas yet, let alone HDTV, right? And just like this is so they've. It really is. It's student friendly. They don't even have to pay for laundry. All their stuff is free. Yeah, I'd have to like go to the bank and get a roll of quarters every week so that I could, you know, do my laundry at the end of the week. And the laundry machines were not 25 cents. Right? They were $1.50 in 1991. They were $1.50. A week of clothes plus your bedding and your towels. Dude, you can burn $10 in quarters, wash, dry, real quick. Those machines were not big. They have industrial-sized mega machines and super dryers, and it's all free. And you have an app that tracks everything for you and tells you when your machine is done. You don't have to stand there and wait for it, because if you're not there, somebody will come and take your clothes and throw them in the damn garbage so that they can use the machine. They don't have that. Not to mention they've got like 70 freaking machines. College life is different. It's different than, it wasn't like that when I went to school. We had four washing machines for the whole dorm. and you fought like an animal to get those washing machines. I would normally do laundry on Wednesday at 2 a.m. because I knew Wednesday at 2 a.m., I could use all four washing machines at the same time. 40 minutes later, use all four dryers at the same time. Be upstairs by 3:30, done, nobody bothered me. Because who's up at Wednesday at 2 a.m.? Now, if you tried that on Friday night, not going to happen. Because every drunk person is ready to come down and do their laundry at 2 a.m. on Friday night. So should I let him keep the money, or should I take the money back since I originally laid it out? What would you do here? Like, what would you do here? I decided I was going to look on the Twitch chat because, you know, the Twitchers are always the bastion of brilliance. Brother Bear said, if there was a giant TV, it was a console that weighed over 200 pounds. You're damn right it did. Walker said, you pay a little extra, they'll fold and crease your clothes for you. So, yeah, they don't have anybody for that, but considering, and here's the crazy thing, right? Like, my son goes to UT, and people are like, oh, well, you know, UT system, it's so expensive. Like, why would you go to the UT system? When I was pricing out colleges, UT was cheaper than A&M. And Sam Houston State was cheaper than both of them, but, you know, it's Sam Houston State. If you want to actually get a job in the field that, you know, my son's going to school for, you're going to UT. You know, if you want to, if you're, like, depending on what your major is, things I didn't know when I was a kid that I know now is what school you go to absolutely freaking matters for your job prospects. Just ask University of Phoenix, who just had like $37 million in student loan debt canceled because they've been lying their ass off about job prospects. I didn't go there, but nice job, President Biden. If you're a scam school, your money should get taken away. And they're a scam school. And you know what? There's a lot of scam schools. I went to a scam school. I went to Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Scam school. We get people placed at jobs. Do you know what their job placement was? They handed me a list. They said, here, call people. And I had to beg for 3 weeks to get that list. They didn't help me. They said, we will get you placed. They didn't do bleep. The biggest waste, like $9,000. You know, if I'd have known, well, I'd have tried to find a school, not Syracuse, because, you know, I wasn't rich enough to go to Syracuse. But, you know, maybe I could have gone to, like, you know, Arizona State. We didn't call it Arizona State. We called it A Double Snakes Goblin State, because the little sun devil looks like an ass goblin. So we just call it Ass Goblin State. But, yeah, so I would have gone to a different university than LIU. But, because, I mean, look, if you want to get a job in sports media and you go to Syracuse, you've got a job for life. It doesn't matter what, where, how, somehow, somewhere, somebody's like, oh, Syracuse, okay, you're hired. That's why, like, during the NCAA tournament, the best day of the tournament is the day Syracuse loses. Because all the Syracuse people, who, you know, like 75% of them are in our business, they all cry their eyes out because their alma mater lost. Good. Hope they always lose. Pretentious jerks. Late hits.
ESPN 97.5. God listens to us too.
Zerline Esungranator.